T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Talking some NBA. NBA Finals are coming up. Bill Ryder from CBS joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. And, well, I don't know. The conference finals ended about a month and a half ago. So I think it's about time, Bill, that we get into some basketball here. Warriors and Raptors. I think one of the first questions I wanted to ask is the delay between the finals of the conference and the finals of the finals. Because this is not what these athletes are used to having, is this kind of break. And I wonder if it's going to be tough on these guys at all.
Yeah, it's a great point. I remember as a beat writer back in the day how much I just hated it with a burning passion, because I would just do the math and think, I can be around my kids 6 days earlier if we just get this show on the road. I think it gives, and we'll see, but I think it gives the Raptors a slight advantage because they've obviously played most recently. And having some rust and not having played in a while, guys, I'll tell you, in the NBA, sometimes, at least the first game of a series, it can throw you off a little bit.
Yeah. Bill, I got to ask a little bit about this NBA Finals. It's a little different than we've seen in years past, right? No LeBron James. He moves out of the West, and now Toronto has seemingly taken that next step forward, and they're in the Finals. What kind of matchup do you think this series can produce?
Yeah, I mean, it's... So over at CBSSports.com, and I hate these predictions, even though I ask them like I'm sure you guys do every day on the radio, I'm a hypocrite, but I went Warriors, I went Warriors in five, and I do think the Warriors will win the series, but I'm well aware that just the incredible level of domination by Kawhi Leonard on both sides of the ball didn't just upend what certainly I thought I knew about the Eastern Conference Finals. The last time we saw Kawhi healthy with the Spurs in the postseason, they got up by 20-some points against the Warriors. He got hurt. Warriors won the game. You know, they went on to all the glory and greatness. But Kawhi is this great X factor. It feels to me like the Warriors should win this fairly easily for a variety of reasons. And then I look at Kawhi, and I remember Toronto's got home court advantage, and I think, man, Kawhi Leonard is such an enigma and such a talent. It really could confound what we all think we know about what's going to happen over the next couple weeks.
Talk a little bit about Kawhi. I mean, we have obviously known him for a little bit longer than most of the rest of the country, having seen him in San Diego and at San Diego State. Although I must admit, even both Tony and I, who went to San Diego State, we never saw this Kawhi Leonard in school. We saw a very good player. We didn't see one that we thought would be one of the best in the NBA. But what is it that is starting to separate him from the pack a little bit? I mean, more and more people are jumping on the Kawhi bandwagon and saying, look, he may not be the best shooter. He may not be the best passer. He may not be the best rebounder or best defender. But when you put it all together, he might be among the best.
Yeah, it's astounding. And really, it's, for me, it's a return to what we thought he was going to be, a challenger for LeBron's legacy, when the Spurs last won an NBA championship and Kawhi became the second youngest finals MVP in the history of the game behind a guy named Magic Johnson. And then obviously the drama and the injury and whatever that sort of weird schism and divorce with the Spurs was, it sidelined Kawhi's greatness because he was not playing basketball. I think it's, you know, it's so interesting. Offensively, he's not supposed to be this good, right? Like, we knew he was great offensively or could be a really important weapon. I don't think we realized the extent to which he could go into a team like the Raptors, right? No Greg Popovich there, no supposed Popovich brilliance, and offensively and utterly carry this team. And simultaneously, and you guys know that it's so hard to do both in basketball, be a defensive stopper at a historical level. Quick stat for you, Giannis this season against individual defenders scored 32 points per 100 possessions against the second-best defender against him in the NBA. It was Blake Griffin. 32 points per 100 possessions against Kawhi, including the playoffs, 15 points per 100 possessions. So Kawhi is literally twice as effective as the next closest defender in the NBA. He's doing it against Giannis on that stage and pouring in 35 every night. I mean, it is just a two-way level of basketball that we have not, and I'm trying to think of the last guy. I know Doc Rivers went with the Jordan comparison, and part of that's because Doc Rivers wants to recruit Kawhi to the Clippers.
Smart man, right?
Right, yeah, there's something to it. I mean, I know Shaq's obviously a vastly different player, but when Shaq cared about defense, which was this time of year, he's obviously a force both directions. I mean, Kawhi is playing Hall of Level, all-time great basketball, offensively and defensively, under the most ridiculous amounts of pressure. And against Giannis, against one of the most talented, transcendent athletes offensively in the game, he's just doing everything at a level you're not supposed to be able to do everything at this time of year.
Bill Ryder joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, host of Ryder Than You, CBS Sports. Bill, this Golden State team, this is possibly the last time we're going to see this team as constructed, right? I think everybody's assuming KD's gone. But how likely is it that they lose a Klay Thompson? Will this be the last time we get a chance to see this Golden State team as is?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think in KD, it's his own sort of private dude who keeps his own counsel. And I think, like with when he went to Golden State, if there's an unlikely series of events, and the last unlikely series of events was the Thunder collapse 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors, and then the Warriors collapse with a 3-1 lead against LeBron and the Cavs, right? I think both those things had to happen for KD to go to Golden State. I think something similar crazy has to happen for him to stay. For Klay, I think it's simple. And, you know, there's been some reports through agent Wojnarowski, who's a great reporter and a trial balloon a lot of times for agents. And I don't think the Warriors are foolish enough to make this mistake, but you never know. Arrogance and success, what Riley called the disease of more, can apply to owners too and GMs. If they go to Klay Thompson on minute one of NBA free agency and say, here's your max deal, we respect you, we love you, we know what you're about, and we're not going to mess around.
Done
Klay
deal.
Thompson's a Warrior for the rest of his life. Yeah. If they get cute, and we've seen this before, right?
Yeah.
Or they think that they're the ones that are, you know, they misjudge Klay's value because they overstate their own, and they try to get cute, I think Klay Thompson might be a Laker next season.
Now you're speaking Tony's
with that, Bill.
You're finally speaking Tony's language. He's begging for any free agent to come to the Lakers. So he would be.
Have you seen the soap opera we have now?
Oh, I've seen it. I'm trying to read it. I can't follow it at the moment. Bill Ryder is with us talking about these NBA finals. And I mean, you have to pick Golden State if you've been following sports for the last half decade. And I think one of the real problems that Toronto has is everything we talked about with Kawhi Leonard is true, but he can't guard this many players. Like, he was able to slow Giannis down, and the other guys on Milwaukee, other than I think really Brogdon and Middleton, didn't step up as much as they normally do. But you know other Warriors are going to step up. Whoever he isn't guarding is going to be able to torch Toronto, and that's why this Warrior team is on the precipice, I think, of, you know, you have to name them among the greatest of all time if they win this championship.
I think you're absolutely right. Whoever Kawhi is assigned to, or if he splits minutes, you know, if he even takes on Steph for 10 or 15 minutes a game, he's going to be effective. I'm done doubting Kawhi Leonard, but you're right. I mean, this Raptors backcourt is among the shortest and least athletic defensively that the Warriors have gone up against, and that's advantage Steph or Klay or whoever it is. Draymond Green's averaging twice as many points in the postseason as he did the regular season. He's a triple-double machine. Klay Thompson once scored 40 points in a quarter for a reason. The ball is moving a lot more. It's a different kind of basketball with KD not around, but I think it certainly benefits Draymond and, I think, to a larger extent, Klay Thompson. I agree with you guys. And I'll add this to why I think it's inevitable the Warriors win this thing. And not to hate on Milwaukee. I love Milwaukee. I think they have a bright future. They had that series in the bag. They were up 2-0. They were on the road in Game 3. They had an overtime. They had a double overtime. You win that game, that series is over, and Giannis fails to score a single point in that Game 3 overtime or that double overtime. He fouled out with 36 seconds just into that overtime, double overtime. The Warriors don't make that mistake. And they've learned from that series that they lost to the Cavs, and they're up 3-1. Toronto's going to have lapses. They're going to have moments where Kawhi can't be on the floor or what used to happens, right, where there's other guys guarding these dudes. And the Golden State Warriors, unlike the Milwaukee Bucks, having been through the wars, they're not going to halt or pause or misunderstand that even up 2-0, say, you got to put these guys down. I think it'll be a vastly different series as a result.
Bill, before we let you get out of here, last time we had you on, we talked a little bit about the Padres getting some national attention. Now, Has that talk died down nationally out where you're at, or is this Padre team considered a dark horse?
Yeah, I think it's shifted a little bit, right? I mean, on my show, I talk a lot. It's like league pass in the NBA. Like, I like watching the Padres because I feel like I'm watching the future of Major League Baseball,
right,
or one
right.
of the teams that are the teams of the future. I think most folks believe that this is going to be probably a year where the Padres are on the outside looking in terms of the playoffs. But there is general agreement that when they're healthy and as these young guys figure out the majors and get their sort of arms around what it means to be a big leaguer, we are looking at one of the teams to fear. You know, we'll see if this is the Cleveland Browns this year in the NFL. We've seen this yeah. in the past with teams in the NBA. You know, certainly we thought the Timberwolves would be that, and they weren't. But these young teams that you look at and you say, man, to hell with this year. Whatever happens this year, they're building something that's probably lasting and legitimate, and that is absolutely the consensus of the Padres. I don't think – in fact, I asked a buddy of mine who works for the Dodgers, are you afraid of the Padres? And he said, we're not afraid of anybody, but we'll be afraid of the Padres in a couple years. Like, that team's coming.
Wow. Let's just let that sink in, Padre fans. That's not bad to hear.
Take it all in.
Yeah, that's not coming from Tony and I being like homers. That's like coming from people that are watching what's going on. Hey, Bill, thanks for all the time. Thanks for the great insight. Love your stuff. It's great being able to have you on the program. We appreciate it. And enjoy the finals. Enjoy Kawhi and the Warriors. And we'll catch up with you soon. And I'm going to speak for Tony in saying that hopefully we can go back and say you were the one that said Klay Thompson to the Lakers first.
I'm rooting for you anytime. I just spent 3 days in San Diego. It's our favorite city on the West Coast, along with Portland. So that's where we go, Portland or San Diego for vacation. So thanks for having me on. It's great to be on the airwaves after being on the ground there for a few days.
All right, Bill, thank you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sometimes there's just not enough time in the day to talk all the sports we want.
I feel reborn. I'm like a phoenix.
Settle in and saddle up. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I just want to start with real quick. I put up on 97.3thefansd.com a blog directing you to the All-Star Game voting page because I want to see Fran Mil Reyes go to the All-Star Game. I know we talked about.
Just got a haircut.
That guy would be amazing in the All-Star Game. So why don't you go to 97.3thefansd.com, go and vote, and then tag us and tell us why you love Fran Mil with Fran Mil ASG. Let's get to it, Tom.
Number five.
Bill Buckner, the longtime major leaguer whose error in the...
Excuse me.
Yes?
Question.
Yes, sir.
If Fran Mil Reyes somehow finds his way onto the All-Star team...
It's going to be my
Are you going to take credit for...
No, I mean, he actually plays... But,
because if that happens, I'm going to have to kind of root against him making the All-Star team because we'll never hear the end of it.
Don't we want this guy in the All-Star game?
Michael just got a haircut.
What? We want
yes,
that
of
guy.
Of course we do, but I don't want him there with you taking any of the credit for it. Well, I'm going to take credit for it, and then me and Fran Mil are going to take a picture outside of Progressive Field in Cleveland. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but we're going to do it.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, okay. Well, Bill Buckner.
Wait, timeout. Timeout.
Timeout number two.
Timeout. The All-Star Game's in Cleveland?
It sure is.
Huh. Interesting.
What's so interesting about that?
Because I didn't think, why is Cleveland having it?
I don't know. I mean, they chose him.
I mean, I'm just saying, usually it's like a new stadium comes in, you know, and you get the All-Star game, right? Washington.
Yeah. Next year, 2021 is going to be SunTrust Park where the Braves
Atlanta,
play.
Right. I'm trying to figure out what the Cleveland tie is. Maybe it was just their turn. All right,
Maybe it was their turn, but actually I have one more clip of why we want Fran Mil in the All-Star game. This is before the Yankees game and him in the dugout.
Oh, man.
We'll always love you.
love that guy. I absolutely
love
him.
He's the life of the party. He's the life of the party.
So, 973 TheFanSD.
How about when he introduced the Padres starting lineups?
We're going to get to that.
Ago.
Chris has been asking for that for a couple weeks now.
That was the funniest thing I've never heard.
It's true. All right, let's get to this. Number five. Bill Buckner.
Number five.
Thank you. Let's get back on track. Bill Buckner, the longtime major leaguer whose heir in the 1986 World Series for years lived in Red Sox infamy, passed away on Monday. He was 69 years old. His family said in a statement, after battling the disease of Lewy body dementia, Bill Buckner passed away early this morning of the 27th, surrounded by his family. Buckner played 22 seasons in the majors, was an all-star once, and won a batting title in 1980. But it was that play when the ball went through his legs at Shea Stadium on October 25th in 1986 that made for one of baseball's most shocking moments when he let the grounder go between his legs. So, Chris, was Bill Buckner an underrated player?
By a mile.
Yeah.
By a mile.
That's what you were telling me yesterday.
He was an underrated player. Bill Buckner.
Chris liked that question.
No, I'm just saying Bill Buckner was really an outstanding ball player. And the Boston Red Sox fan base forever and ever ought to be ashamed of itself for the way they treated Bill Buckner after the 1986 World Series. That play happened in Game 6. The Red Sox, by the way, managed to blow a 3-run lead in Game 7. The Red Sox also would not even have been in that World Series had it not have been for a Dave Henderson home run that turned the game around against the Angels in the playoff. So many things had to happen. But in 1986, Bill Buckner was a key part of that Red Sox team. 18 home runs, 102 RBIs. One of the reasons they were there in the first place. John McNamara was the manager of the Red Sox. And he thought, honestly, about putting a defensive replacement in for Buckner in the bottom of that ninth inning. And then thought again and said, you know what? Bill Buckner's too much a part of this. He needs to be on the field. And he kept him on the field. That story came out later. Billy Buckner was a top 20 MVP choice 4 times in his career, Scraby, along with an all-star once.
Won a batting title?
It's just a joke that they only remembered him for that.
Yeah, it's really sad, actually. Tony, what do you think? Do you think Bill Buckner was an underrated player?
Yes, definitely. I mean, he almost had 3,000 hits, 2,715.
Huh.
I mean, a career 289 hitter. I mean, this guy, he was a, especially considering the time he played it, I mean, he was one of the better offensive guys you had going out there. And I think because of that era, it just ends up kind of fogging up the rest of his career, prior to and post. He was a hell of a player, and obviously baseball loses one of the guys that you know is a big part of our history.
It was interesting because when he passed away the other day, I mean, the outpouring of support from Boston was like off the charts.
That made me a little angry.
People are kind of like, where's this all coming from?
You gotta,
well, that's guilt is what that was. I mean, the people in Boston realize that he had to move from Boston to Montana. I mean, this guy was
that's what made me
driven
angry.
Out of the state of Massachusetts for one play. Come on.
I think the people of Boston tried to make amends a few years ago. They had him out.
Yes, they did.
It was like a Bill Buckner day in Boston. And
yeah,
he came out to a huge standing ovation. And so I think at that point people started realizing, or even maybe before, people realized that they were completely out of pocket by the way they treated him for so long after that era. And, you know, I think that's also a reason why you've seen the outpour, because I think people feel bad. Like, he was a guy who literally had to move out of a place because of it.
I just hate when people have to pass away for people to...
That's always.
I hate that.
We tend to wait till you're dead before we actually start, you know, honoring.
It's like immediate, though. As soon as the news came out, all these people, he was a great guy, he was a great player. And then I saw a couple people say, well, where was this when he was living?
That's everybody.
Did the Red Sox not help the situation?
I don't know. I don't know that there was nothing the Red Sox could. First of all, when it happened, I think Bill was hurt, so he didn't want to really deal with it. You know, going back there, it took some healing on his part.
Long
before
time.
He was ready to actually come back to Boston and kind of have that celebratory day that they had.
Well, rest in peace, Bill Buckner.
Number four.
There was a report out today saying the Yankees could sign Dallas Keuchel to a deal as soon as next week. That report was released by SNY's Andy Martino. For several weeks, executives have said that Keuchel is willing to take a one-year deal that exceeds the $17.9 million qualifying offer that Boris's camp has privately put... That was the qualifying offer, $17.9 million, but Boris's camp has actually pushed back against that number. So, Tony, where the Padres are at now... And hearing that the Yankees might sign him as early as next week, would you amp up the talk internally about signing Dallas Keuchel?
Not yet. I'm still not there yet. Here's why. Excuse me. Padres are seven and a half out, going at right now as we speak. They're two out around that. Two from the wild card. I want to wait a little bit longer to see. Where that's going to be. The question is, are other teams going to wait longer? And I'm not so quite sure that that's going to be the case. I don't think the Padres are quite there yet where they can go out and pull that trigger and sign them. Because, listen, the Central is who they're chasing for that second wild card. And it's that division, I think, is only going to get stronger as the year goes along. So if the Padres can stay close to that, yeah, take that shot. Right now, I still think it's a little too early, though.
Chris, what do you think? Do you think the Padres need to amp up their talks about signing Dallas Keuchel?
You know, I would love to have Dallas Keuchel, but I've kind of come to the realization that he's not going to be a Padre.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be elsewhere. I think the Padres are going in another direction, their own direction. I think it's a pretty good direction.
Yeah.
I don't think Dallas Keuchel comes in and immediately helps the Padres threaten the Dodgers' hold on first place in the NL West. I think they can get into a wild card without Dallas Keuchel as well as they can get into one with him. So I don't see going out there and spending $17 million for a rental. It just doesn't make as much sense to me. But I'm always for getting as many good players as you can. I just don't think this is the right thing.
Number three.
The Tampa Bay Rays had a historically low fan turnout during a game this week, and that's saying a lot considering the Rays are usually near the bottom of the league attendance in every single year. Yesterday's game against the Toronto Blue Jays at Tropicana Field only drew 5,786 fans, setting a record low for a franchise that is in its 22nd season. The previous attendance low was 6,509, but that came as Tampa was preparing for a hurricane in 2017. So they had more people while hurricane was happening than they did yesterday. And many people are kind of worried about it. Chris, if you were Major League Baseball, are you worried about the Rays' viability in Tampa?
Yes, I should have been worried about it a long time ago. I mean, if I'm just noticing it now, then I'm pretty stupid. I mean, Tampa has not been drawing fans
for years,
decades and decades. I think the one year they went to the World Series there against the Phillies, they were finally getting into the 20, 25, 30,000.
That's insane.
And that's
Yeah. They have the worst stadium perhaps in all of sports, right? I mean, you've been down there.
It's pretty bad.
Haven't been there. I've just seen it and just hear terrible things about it.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, nobody wants to go there. The players don't want to play there. The team is like a game out of first place. I give them a lot of credit. But I think that's a franchise. There's got to be another city somewhere that just wants a team more than Tampa wants theirs.
You're probably right. Tony, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, those folks have been worried about it for a while. They've been trying to get a stadium for a while. But listen, the stadium itself is not even in Tampa. So that is part of the problem.
It's in St. Pete.
It's in St. Pete. That's part of the problem. You're the Tampa Rays, and you're not really
in
Tampa. So that's part of the issue. This team has always had hard times. Even the years they did go to the World Series, even the years they were competitive, they were still having a hard time drawing fans there. And it's just one of those spots. I mean, at some point, Major League Baseball has to think about relocating this team. I mean, Tampa is where they need to be, but can they get a stadium done? It's a lot harder to get a stadium built now than it was, you know, when these franchises first came into play here.
I read maybe even Charlotte could be a good
Charlotte. Hey, listen, I got a chance to play in Charlotte my last season. That's a true awesome season.
They have an NFL team.
They have an NFL team there. They have a AAA team there now that draws very well. I think it would be an excellent place to put a team.
Do they still have a basketball team?
Yes, the Charlotte Hornets, right?
Oh, yeah. Who owns that team?
You made me start second-guessing myself there. I was like, no,
me too.
I thought they did.
No, because I remember the Bobcats were there, and then I remember they changed their name.
I am just so glad Scraby took over the show for a while.
That's what I think of when I think of the Bobcats, Adam Morrison.
Yeah, I do.
The stash.
And Chris is just happy I'm making mistakes over
here. Get the focus off me for a while.
Number two.
The NBA Finals are about to get started tomorrow night, and rumors of the NBA draft are swirling. We all have our eye on San Diego State's Jalen McDaniels and where he goes in the NBA draft. All mock drafts that I've seen him going in the second round or draft near the end, but some mock drafts think he's a bubble player and predict he will not be drafted at all. So, Tony, do you think Jalen McDaniels will be selected in the first two rounds or in the two rounds of the NBA draft?
I think it's up in the air. I think he's going to have some tremendous workouts as we get to closer to it. If you force me to bet, my guess is that he ends up as a free agent pick.
Chris?
I think it would be better for Jalen McDaniels to be a free agent pick. If he's drafted in the midpoint of the second round, somewhere around there, he's got one team. He's got to take a shot with that team. He's got to make that team. Now, granted, he could be released and then catch on elsewhere. But if he is not drafted, he can look around the league, find the best situation to go to, and try to make that team. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
So I think that he's going to be better off if he's not drafted. But whether or not he will be, I have no idea.
Number one.
Animal rights activists have been known to do some crazy things that stand up for animals, but this time I don't know many people who think they are out of line because they're calling for races to be suspended at Santa Anita Park amid a string of horse deaths that forced the park to temporarily shut down earlier this year. The famed race course will play host to this year's Breeders' Cup in November, but it recorded its 26th death since December when the horse Cochise was injured during a race. I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at the horse dying, I'm laughing at the name. The horse was injured on Saturday. Chris,
you sure sound like you're really laughing at the death of the horse to me.
I butchered this whole thing. I feel bad for the horse. Chris, should horse racing face government sanctions?
I don't know about that. I think that horse racing is on its way out.
Me too.
And that's coming from
a guy. You said that a while ago.
That's coming from a guy who covered Del Mar, knows all those guys up there, wrote about it for the newspaper for a couple of years, followed it back in the 80s as a sports writer. I mean, I'm a big horse racing fan. Like Tony has correctly said a few times, I don't understand why they even race horses. Like, I don't get it. I do. I love it. I think it's beautiful to watch them perform. But there's no way to have horse racing without horses dying. And if that's the case, and it is the case, I don't know how much longer horse racing can keep going. I don't see another answer to the problem.
Tony?
Yeah, as Chris pointed out, I don't understand the whole element of excitement behind horse racing in the first place.
It gets a little exciting at the end.
Yeah, at the very end, but everybody's like gung-ho about it from the very beginning. But anyway, that's,
well, it's exciting because you can gamble on it, just like
maybe that's,
you know, football's
exciting
because you can gamble on it. People don't realize that when you have something riding on it, it gets a little more exciting. But
see, I like football regardless of whether I'm betting or not.
Yeah,
baseball whether I'm betting or not. But anyway, I think Chris is right. I think especially in the climate we live in right now, with horses dropping left and right via racing. It's not as though they're sick. It doesn't have to happen. You know what I'm saying? So if something like this continues, I'm with Chris. I think you end up seeing this sport really go away.
I think in the next 5 to 10 years, I think it's going to... it was hard to like tune into the Kentucky Derby this year after everything that Santa Anita had gone through.
Yeah.
You know, watch that race. And I always watch the Kentucky Derby.
I'm even nervous now when I'm watching races.
Sure. I mean, if something happens in a high-profile event like that...
That's what I think will eventually happen.
It's happened before in big races, and they've kind of just been able to get through it.
Yeah, but now with all these horses passing away via racing...
Well, and the fact that the Breeders' Cup is the big deal of the year, and it's going to be at Santa Anita where all the problems have been...
Oh,
that is not good timing.
Hopefully nothing bad happens. That was the Big Five, brought to you by Equal Water Treatment System. For anywhere you drink water, your water perfected. Stay hydrated, San Diego. We got more on the way. What you got your fingers up again?
I wanted to cheer us up. Take us out, Thomas. Take us out, Thomas.
People tuning in just think that we're screaming into the microphone. They have no idea what that
Scram
is.
Scram, no Reyes.
Ooh, love you. Ooh.
You need to stop singing. Ooh. You're messing it up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, we're talking a little baseball right now, or a lot of baseball. Matt Snyder, CBS Sports. Matt, how you doing today?
I'm good. I think I'm happy. I don't know what you guys were talking about there.
Yeah, Scraby was...
We can get you in on it little bit.
our
producer decided to try and make an argument that Kawhi Leonard might be a better San Diego State athlete than our very own Tony Gwynn. And that's a hard it's a hard one to make in the city of San Diego.
Yeah.
It might be one you can make elsewhere, but here in San Diego, you're not going to get a lot of support on that. So,
no, I wouldn't think so.
Matt, no, sir.
Matt, we've been paying a lot of attention to your weekly power rankings on CBS Sports, and we noticed that the Padres don't ever go too far up. They don't ever advance. They don't ever go down too far. What goes into the process when you're putting these power rankings together, especially when it pertains to the Padres?
Yeah, they're a hard one. I feel like I'm bumping them four or five spots at a time because they're inconsistent week to week. You know, they got done with this, and this has happened a lot with them, and I expected it to happen with them. They're a team that hasn't contended in a long time, but they're an upstart. You know, they go through that six-game losing streak where they lost to teams like the Rockies and Reds in April, and then they string five wins together. Then they go through a rough patch where they lose six of seven, and then they rip off five straight wins. It's tough for me to try to look week to week and say, gosh, we're still early in the season. There's so many teams in the middle in like a cluster that are that seem relatively even. And then I've got a team that has six losses in a row. I've got to move them behind some teams in the cluster. And then they win five, six, and I got to move them ahead in the cluster. So I have expected this to happen pretty much with them. And they're a fun team, so they're fun to pay attention to. I try to look at body of work, personnel, run differential, and what have you done lately. It's subjective.
Matt, one of the stats that really jumps out at me, and we were talking about this yesterday actually on our post-game show, the Padres beat the Yankees yesterday 5-4. Their 14th one-run victory of the year. They lead the major leagues in that category. As a matter of fact, they're 14-6 in one-run games. Are you of the thinking that a 14-6 record in one-run games is a good thing because it shows, hey, this team's got a little magic going this year and they feel confident in tight games? Or are you a little concerned about that record, thinking that it might level out a little bit the second half of the season?
I mean, it's always good when you get to this point that way. You just don't want to have to rely on it all season to keep happening. I mean, we've seen some of the examples where it did. The 2012 Orioles, one of those Rangers teams, maybe 2016, was just ridiculous how many one-run games they won. There's a formula, but you have to have timely hitting, which is hard to count on for a whole season because it can go in hills and valleys, and good back into the bullpen work. And when you look at the Padres there, when you've got Kirby Yates and you have some guys capable of being a good bridge to him, yeah, you can hold one-run leads there.
Yeah.
At some point, you'd like to start getting a little bit more comfortable leads and not having to worry about that. And then you look at the blowout losses there, too. They're 3-6 in games decided by five or more runs. Or actually, today, make that, they're 3-7 now. that's going to skew the run differential a little bit in the along with those one-run games. So you have to try to take everything into account. I do think the Padres are good. I don't think that they can continue. Let's say if we just double that and they were 28-12 in one-run games, that would be a shocker.
Right.
So maybe that levels out some. But the thing is, when you have a team like this that it's never contended before, hopefully you get back Fernando Tatis at some point. You've got a Hedges in there. This is Machado's first year in San Diego. You've got Margot and Franmil in there. At some point, maybe Urias comes back. You have a lot of young guys in there. Paddock at the top of the rotation. And in fact, the rotation has a lot of guys who don't have a ton of major league experience in a rotation. There's going to be inconsistency there. So it's harder to say, oh, that's definitely going to even out. Well, for example, the Brewers earlier this year were something like 8-0 in one-run games. And you're like, okay, well, I know they have Hader, but the rest of the bullpen isn't that great. That's going to even out. And it has kind of started to even out. On the Padres, it's harder, like I said.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. The fact, if you're playing a lot of one-run games, it doesn't necessarily, and you're winning them, isn't necessarily a good thing, because the Giants have the best one-run record in the league right now, and they're
not helping them.
It's not helping them at all.
No.
Matt Snyder joins us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, CBS Sports. Matt, I checked out your All-Stars article you wrote on CBS, and although there aren't any Padres in the starting lineup that you have picked out as of right now, they certainly have to have a representative. When you look at this ball club, who do you think that guy is right now?
Hosmer almost seems like the most deserving after how hot he was. Again, with Tatis being hurt.
Yeah.
But first base is unbelievably powered.
Yeah, super strong.
League, and so he probably gets bumped there. Paddock? I mean, it got knocked around today.
What about a guy like Yates?
Yeah, Kirby Yates, it's probably going to end up being Yates. I don't know if Paddock will have the workload at that point. And hopefully you get more than one.
Yeah.
Because it's a likable team. It's probably a good bet that by the time we get there, Machado has the numbers. If I had to predict, I'd say you end up with Machado and Yates.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
Boy, I hope Machado. That would be good to get a couple in there. Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, is with us. We were just talking about the Padres now. They've fallen 7.5 back of the Dodgers in the NL West, and there just looks like there's no slowing the Dodgers down. If you're the Padres, I mean, does it make any sense to put all your chips in at this point and try to make a run to catch LA, or do you just try and stay the course and see if you can't steal one of these wild card spots?
Well, yeah, for now, I mean, you're within striking distance of a wild card spot, and this is a city that's clamoring for a playoff team at this point. I don't see any reason to do something drastic like sell, certainly not at this point. If you end up, let's say, late July, and you're looking at a 9-game deficit with 3 or 4 teams of leapfrog, yeah, you probably need to sell and supplement and start looking ahead to next year. But as long as you're in it, I mean, look at the 2014 Royals. They were something like 5 or 6 games out of a wild card spot in late July, and they decided to stand pat. I remember some outlets, mostly the sabermetrically inclined, were saying they should have sold James Shields. Well, they ended up in the World Series. They ended up 90 feet away from tying it in Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah.
So as long as you're close, to me, especially in the Royals situation that year, or especially in the Padres situation that year, after so long wanting to have a contender, getting a fun team in front of you looks like a team that's going to contend for years to come. It just sends a terrible signal to your fan base if you sell when it looks like you're within striking range. So I don't think you could do anything like mortgage the future by trading prospects who aren't far away. Mackenzie Gore comes to mind. But, you know, if you can add by not giving up some of the future nucleus, yeah, supplement it by all means and see if you can get in the wild card game. Because, again, you never know. The Royals were right there. We've seen wild card teams make runs.
Matt, one last thing before we let you get out of here. Eric Hosmer has been on a tear. We talked about him a little bit in All-Star. Why do you think Eric Hosmer has been able to return to the guy the Padres thought they were signing in free agency last year?
I don't know. The only thing I have, and I don't have an answer for why, if you look at his career numbers, he is really good every other year.
Yeah.
And then mediocre. And so there's no I don't know. I mean, you could probably speak to this better than me, having been to the show, but does that make any sense whatsoever?
It doesn't. And you know, it's funny, Adam Jones said the other day, he was like, there really is never an explanation or never a why when guys just randomly struggle like that. And it's just weird that it's always in an odd year that he puts up fantastic years.
It is. And but, you know, sometimes you do – I didn't play in the bigs, but I played in college. Sometimes, as you know, you just feel a lot better.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just feel like you can't get comfortable in the box no matter what you do. So right now he probably feels really good. And then you get a little extra confidence there and things start to snowball. That seems to be what's happening for him.
I did not realize that he had such drastic splits from odd seasons
amazing.
To even. But it's, boy, 298, 318, 297, 302. 293. Those are his odd number seasons. Do you want the even ones?
Read the even ones for us.
232, 270, 266, 253. So way lower.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
If you loop in the OBP and slugging and the OPSs are like even more drastic. It's weird.
He's either in the 800s or in the 600s.
Well, Matt, hey, we appreciate your time as usual. Look forward to talking to you again.
Good stuff, Matt.
All
Thank
right,
you.
Thank you, Matt. That was Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. SDCCU has low mortgage loan rates. Equal housing opportunities. Apply now at SDCCU.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Gwen and Chris wanted to rank things, and that means whatever they want.
Come on, don't get weird.
They bring you their top five of the day because it's time to start the countdown.
Okay, Scraby, this was your baby, so I'll let you announce the topic.
Well, the topic today is going to be top 5 1-year wonders in sports. So we're talking about guys that have a great year, and then they just disappear.
They go. Like, any particular reason you chose this topic today?
No, not really. There was actually a suggestion of a coworker in the building, and I said thank you for that because that was a good one.
You liked it.
You said thank you for that.
Mr. Nick Finn.
The Toronto Raptors could end up being a one-year wonder.
They could
be. If they beat the Warriors.
I wanted to give an example, but I don't because I don't know if it's on the list, so I'm not going to.
All right. Who's going first?
Tony.
Tony's going first, apparently.
Okay. Chris. This is the last time I let Scraby decide anything.
Chris goes first.
No, I want you.
Too late, Scraby. I'm going first. First on my list, Brady Anderson. 50 homers. Can't remember exactly what year it was.
1996
had just an unbelievable year.
50. Carlsbad High School.
Carlsbad.
Brady Anderson,
that's correct. And 1 year wonder in my mind, I'm thinking I've had a huge year, and then everybody thinking that was going to be what we saw, and it wasn't. You know, Brady Anderson was a fine Major League Baseball player, but we never quite saw that 50 home run total.
No.
Ever again. He sits at 5 on my list.
He hit 50, drove in 110. The best he ever did in any other season was 24 home runs and 81 RBIs. The reason he did not make my list is because he still played 15 years in the big leagues.
Right.
So to me, that is not completely disappearing from the scene, but you're right. He was never that good again. Number 5 on my list is a guy that completely disappeared from the scene. After having one of the greatest, not seasons of all time, but one of the greatest games in the history of his sport. The game took place in San Diego, California. It was the Super Bowl following the 1988 season between the Washington Redskins and the Denver Broncos. The running back's name was Timmy Smith.
Yes.
For the Redskins. He had gained 120 yards rushing all season. But the Redskins' starting running back got hurt. They put Timmy Smith in. He gained 204 yards in the Super Bowl. Still has the Super Bowl rushing record. And after that, he was right out of the league. Never surfaced again.
That is crazy.
I mean, that is unbelievable.
I think he held out and was trying to get more money, came back, got hurt, and never played again.
That was right. I mean, that's it. He had one moment in his life, and he's number five on my list. Timmy Smith.
Number four.
This is not a list you want to be on, by the way.
Well, see, here's the thing is that...
See,
Chris's list is going to be like true one-hit wonders, like guys who... I assume.
No, we're going to be pretty similar. Okay. I think we're going to be pretty similar.
See, my list, I have a bunch of guys that had long careers, but never quite got to
Timmy
that
Smith
level.
Is the only guy I have on my list that I could think of that was good for, like, one day.
Right. Yeah, I don't have very many of those guys.
I can't
guys
think
on my
of
list.
Anybody else who ever had that great of one day and nothing else the rest of their career.
All right, number four for me, Jeremy Lin. Lin's sanity took over the entire NBA not too long ago, and to the point where he became a free agent and had an opportunity to make a boatload of money, but has never quite returned to... It was really like 3 months that he did this, because remember, he didn't really get any playing time until Carmelo Anthony went down in New York. He had to be forced into the lineup. They catch some lightning in a bottle. Lin's sanity takes over. They think he can just... going to take over the NBA, and it just never quite turned. Jeremy Lin still is in the NBA. Matter of fact, he's on the Toronto Raptors.
He's squad. In the finals.
Yes, he's in the finals. I haven't seen him get much burn during his playoff run, if any.
None.
But he falls number four on my list because he had a lot of hype moving. I mean, he was doing like national sports talk shows, like like he was on there all the time.
Okay, here's the thing. Number four on my list, by the way, is Jeremy Lin.
Okay.
All right, wow. So I'm going to jump in there as well on this guy. I saw him on the bench the other night after Toronto clinched the playoff thing, and I was like, is that Jeremy Lin?
Right.
Like, he's still in the league? Jeremy Lin was such a flash in the pan that he made the cover of Sports Illustrated not once, but 2 weeks in a row.
Yes.
I don't know that anyone has honestly ever done that other than maybe some Super Bowl quarterback. He made it because he went on one of the great hot streaks in NBA history. Lin's sanity took over the country for, like you said, about a month. And it was 2012 when this happened. And ever since then, Jeremy Lin has done nothing. Absolutely nothing. But he made back-to-back Sports Illustrated covers. That's unbelievable.
It is.
Two in a row. All right, so he's perfect for number four.
Number three.
Number three for me, Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow. Noted by most of the, you know, talking heads and the analysts on the draft that there's no way he could be a first-round pick. Denver surprised everybody and took him in the first round. He would then go on to have some ridiculous fourth-quarter comebacks in that season and end up getting his team to the playoffs, where they would eventually lose to the Patriots. And then eventually what happened was everybody thought, okay, he might be able to do this. And then this guy named Peyton Manning became available. And they ditched him like a bad sack of rice somewhere and brought him on in. And they brought Peyton Manning in. Tim Tebow, I don't know if he ever really played very much after that.
Later went to the Patriots.
He did. Didn't get burned there because there's a guy named Tom Brady there. He went to Philly after that.
Yeah,
that didn't work out.
Yeah. Now he's getting struck out by position players
now
in AAA.
Now he's having a rough season. I did see a brawl break out between a team, the AAA team he's on. Not many people wanted any smoke with Tim Tebow.
Well, yeah, because he's jacked.
Yes.
Number three. For me, Tim Tebow.
No way.
What in the world? This never happens because Chris
why,
takes
this,
it serious.
This is why he was saying, stop telling me what your top five is, because we're almost the same.
Tim Tebow made, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Sports Illustrated covers. Are you kidding me? Football Jesus? What did he do to deserve to be on any Sports Illustrated covers? I know he was great in college, and he did throw one touchdown pass to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in a playoff game. But that is all he did in 2011. So he's number three.
Number two.
Probably going to be the same here also.
I don't think we're going to be the same. We might, though. Number two for me was a very high draft pick in the NBA. Went to the Oklahoma State University. This guy is named Bryant Big Country Reeves. I think he was top two pick in the draft.
Okay.
Went to the
Big Country.
Went to the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Yeah.
He was a big man. Was a slow big man.
Went to the Final Four with Oklahoma State.
Went to the
State
Final Four with Oklahoma State. And everybody thought he was going to be a good NBA player. Turns out he wasn't. He didn't last very long. I think he played 2 or 3 years in the NBA and before his career came to a quick halt.
Here's a big thing on him, that he's the biggest one-hit wonder in NBA history. So that tells you all you need to know. I don't remember a thing about him other than that he played pretty well at Oklahoma State.
I remember him playing in college. I remember him in uniform at Vancouver. Don't remember him playing much, though.
Yeah, he didn't. All right, number two for me is James Douglas.
Busta.
Otherwise known as Buster.
I was going to say.
I know, you're looking at me and
I thought you were going to say James Vanderbeek from Varsity Blues.
Everybody's going to look at me, listen, and go, James Douglas, who's that? Buster Douglas, 42-1 odds, shocked. I mean, you know what's funny? They overuse this, shocked the world. Like, people, I'm already hearing people say, if Toronto beats the Warriors, they'll shock the world. I'll be honest with you, there's people in Pakistan who aren't going to care in the least. However, when Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson... Yeah. I think it did shock the world. I really do. I think the whole world was aware of that. 42-1 odds, biggest upset in boxing history. Held the title for 8 months, defended it one time, and got knocked out by Evander Holyfield. So he never did defend the title, and he completely disappeared from the boxing scene thereafter. But he certainly had one great moment in time. Number two.
Number one.
Number one for me is James Buster Douglas.
Okay.
As you said, there might be people in Pakistan that could have cared less about this match. But if there was a match that shocked the world, this was it. Because nobody, and I mean nobody, thought that Buster Douglas could pull off this upset. I mean, it was so bad that Las Vegas bettors didn't even bother putting out the bout of any lines.
No.
For this fight. That's how much people just assume Mike Tyson was going to run through Buster Douglas, and it turned out to be one of the biggest upsets in sports history.
Still is, no question about it. All right, number one for me, Buster Douglas probably should be number one on this list, but my guy is just a guy from my childhood, teenage years, who was the most popular Major League Baseball player on the planet for exactly one season. And I believe that's the ultimate definition of a one-hit wonder. This guy was the Rookie of the Year in 1976. He started the All-Star Game opposite Randy Jones, who started for the National League that year. This guy was 19-9. He had a 2.34 ERA. He had 24 complete games. He was second in the Cy Young Award balloting. He talked to the baseball, and everybody in sports completely fell in love with him. And he looked like the Big Bird on Sesame Street.
He's a tiger?
And no, he was put on the cover of Sports Illustrated with Big Bird of Sesame Street. His name was the Bird, Mark Fidrich. And if you look him up, you will see that he was unhittable in 1976 for the Tigers and then had arm injuries. Never got back. After that, he won 10 games the rest of his career, lost 10 games the rest of his career. Finished up 0-3 with a 10.43 ERA in his last season.
He was a Tiger.
Yes, Detroit Tiger. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Was
I thought you
tiger?
Said, is it Tiger?
No,
it
wasn't.
I was like, no, what do you mean, Tiger?
Bird.
Yes, no, the Bird, Mark Fidrich, was a Detroit Tiger. You're right. And he was, Tony, I can't tell you how famous, only Randy Jones could probably tell you just how famous he was, because Randy started that All-Star game and no one even noticed it because it was Bird on the other side. And Fidrich was just, he took over the game. He took over sports for an entire year. You stopped every time he pitched to watch him pitch. and he was a joy to watch. He loved the game. He jumped up and down. He celebrated every strikeout, but in a good, joyful way, right, not a in-your-face way. One of the most popular pitchers of his time, but it only was 1 year. So that's why I put him number one. There you go.
The countdown is now closed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, Padres fans, now's your time to ask the experts.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Gwynn and Chris answer all your questions about the Padres.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Padres Pen Pal starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Two things to say about this. I have been blown away by the participation with everyone in the Padres Pen Pals. I've gotten so many questions from people. Usually it's in the Facebook group, San Diego Friarhood. So if you're looking for that and you're looking to ask a question to Tony and Chris, go find the San Diego Friarhood Facebook group. And whenever you see me post about asking questions, put your question there. And second, I'm trying to send the Franimal to the All-Star game because I really want him to be the representative for the Padres in the All-Star game. Go to 973thefanSD.com, and I have a blog page up. It takes you to the place where you can vote and all that good stuff. So that is what is on my docket.
I got nothing against your desire to have Franimal go to the All-Star game. I would love to see it. I was a little surprised earlier when we were talking with Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, and we asked him who he thought would go to the All-Star game. You don't think of everything. But to me, Kirby Yates is an absolute no-brainer. He has to be in the All-Star game. He's the best reliever in all of baseball. Now, beyond that, you know, now you're hoping to try and get a Hosmer, and maybe Franmel's going to have to, like lead the league in homers to get a mention.
He's going to have to go on an unbelievable
big
tear.
Yeah, because he's having a big year for us, but not for the rest of the country.
I cannot wait for him and me on the field in Progressive Field in Cleveland.
Yeah, for Home Run Derby.
That would be great, too.
I think he's got a better shot
at
that.
He should be in that.
Anyway, 973thefansd.com. Go look for the picture of Franmil with Chris and Tony. And then whenever you vote, tweet us why you want him in the All-Star game with hashtag FranmilASG.
It's got to be Yates, though, right now. Him or Hosmer got to be the representative.
Probably.
No, it's not or. It's Yates and.
Nothing against Kirby. He worked.
How can you have anything again? He's the best reliever in baseball.
He had
That's a
great shirt on the other day. It said, Yater's gonna Yate. That alone
shows you that baseball players have far too much time on their hands. Yeah. They've created like 7 or 8 dope shirts that we could all wear out right now. That's how much time they ever have. Yater's gonna Yate.
All right, let's get into Padres Pen Pals. Chris's favorite part, the pencil.
Scribbling.
CJ Salazar says, is it guaranteed that Franchi Cordero will make the Padres roster once he is back from injury? And we're going to start with you, Chris.
I say yes, just because they need a left-handed bat in the outfield.
Okay, Tony?
I say yes for the same reason, and they could use some extra defensive help in the outfield. I think on certain matchups especially, right, you've had to use Will in center field or Manuel Margot, who... Manuel's played a lot better this year than he did last year so far. I think having an option like Franchi Cordero to be able to man center field when they have right-handers on the mound. Remember, it's been really Will Myers has been that guy. When there's a right-hander on the mound, he's been one to get the majority of the time in center field.
I think, frankly, the Padres, I don't want to say they've lucked out, but they've kind of avoided Myers in center field. Like, there hasn't been one of those disasters,
right?
They've
avoided,
and I think center field. It's not his fault. That's not his spot necessarily.
Right.
He's playing out of position.
It's not like they've avoided him, like putting him out there, but they've avoided like anything really bad happening.
Right, like what happened to Dexter Fowler tonight when he circled under a fly ball and just almost hit him in the coconut.
Yes,
didn't go too well.
Never mind. Let's go to the next one. All right, this one is from Will McCafferty, and when he asked me this question, I even replied with, this is a next-level question, and not to box Chris out or anything, but I think Tony's going to be the expert on this question. So, Tony, you're up first. What is the weight of Hosmer's bat? It looks a little heavy. I'd love to see him drop a half or full ounce.
Ha, ha, ha! Had this conversation many a time.
Really?
Yes, I had it with you guys. We talked about it on air. Remember last year I told you I walked down there in Cincinnati when I felt like I was on that road trip for like 2 years.
Yeah.
I walked down there because I've been watching him with the bat in his hand and it just seemed like it was a toothpick. So I pick it up and I'm just blown away.
I do remember this.
By how light it was. It was a 33 and a half inches, 31 ounces for the bat. So now this year I believe he's using a 34. He's gone up a half an inch and half an ounce. To the bat, which is ideal for a guy his size. You could argue that it's too light for his size. But the fact that I've always appreciated it because a lot of guys want to swing the heaviest bat that they can find. And that wasn't for him. He understands how important bat control is in the course of a swing. And he doesn't swing that heavy of a bat. So the observation is a little off.
Let me ask you this. What is the largest or heaviest bat you've seen? Like, and who had it? Do you remember anyone that stands out?
I can remember two of them. Remember Lance Johnson, little guy?
Lance Johnson,
yeah. Swung a 40-ounce bat.
40 ounces?
Oh, my.
It's like 37 inches, something like that. His idea was if he could just get the bat in the zone, the ball.
If he could.
I mean, he did.
Lance Johnson was about 4'11", 96 pounds soaking wet.
He got the bat in the zone most of the time, and that was it. Adrian Gonzalez was another one. I mean, he would use it, certain pitchers, or BP, he would use this really heavy bat. But Lance Johnson was the one that I saw personally, up close and personal.
Wouldn't that be funny, like, if a pitcher was at bat, and he broke his bat, and the bat boy ran back, and he just grabbed me one, and he grabbed Lance Johnson.
And just dragged it out.
He couldn't lift the thing up.
I just think about my dad, right? He was 5'11", 220. He swung a 33-inch bat, 30 and a half ounces.
Yeah, one of the
Lance Johnson
ones.
Was much smaller than my dad swinging a 40-ounce
bat. He's 5'10", 160.
There you go.
Chris, you have anything to add?
Absolutely not. Tony covered that perfectly.
Did you give your second guy that had a heavy bat?
Adrian Gonzalez.
Adrian Gonzalez, okay. All right, next one. Marianne Boyles says, Chris, where would you bat Will Myers in the order in an effort to get him going? You have the lineup card, Chris. Where are you putting Will Myers?
I don't really think it matters. To get him going?
He hit three. Did he? He hit three home runs over the weekend.
Yeah. I guess if I had any place to try and get a guy going, if the question was posed this way, and I'm just ignoring the rest of my lineup by saying this, I think the best place to get a guy going is to bat them second. The reason is because more times than not, you're asked to hit behind the runner, which means you have to wait a little longer and hit the ball the opposite field to right field. And the deeper the ball gets in the zone, the better chance I think you have of making contact. And I think if you hit the other way, you can get out of a slump quicker. And that is coming from somebody who was a pitcher. So I could be completely 1,000% wrong. But that's just my feeling.
Tony, where would you bat Will Myers in an effort to get him going?
I mean, where hasn't Andy tried him this season? I mean, he's hit leadoff. He's hit second. He's hit third. He's hit, I think, almost every place in the lineup.
He's hit seventh.
I don't think he's hit eighth this year. It's probably the only spot, and that's not necessarily a good spot to get going. If I was really trying to get him going, I'd put him in front of Manny Machado. The only problem with that is you got to move Franmil Reyes out of that spot. So,
Whoever bats in front of Manny Machado is going to get the better pitches to see.
That's for sure.
Good answer. Right. Better answer than batting second. Although it's actually the same answer.
It is second. It's the same answer.
Yeah.
All right, two more. This one from Caesar Soto. And remember, these are questions asked by fans.
Right.
Tony, what is Matt Whistler bringing to the team?
Why do I always get the what is the guy bringing
just,
the team?
It's just how
Greg,
it fell.
Greg Garcia was the last one I got like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, but you were feeling some type of way.
I was. what Matt Whistler is bringing to the ball club right now is a bullpen arm. Remember, everybody has to remember, this is not the same bullpen the Padres had last year.
Right? True.
Brad Hand's gone. Mm-hmm. Simber's gone. Mm-hmm. Matt Strom moves from the bullpen to the starting rotation. Castile's hurt. So there are a lot of moving pieces right now. This depth isn't what it used to be. So you consider how much the starting pitcher at the beginning of the season was only going 5-6 innings. That taxes a bullpen. That taxes the arms that you had to start the season in there. So you have to. The Padres are doing a good job of bringing up fresh arms that they can go to out of the bullpen. Now, is Matt Whistler as effective as we've seen the back end of the bullpen be? Not yet, but I think over time, I think they believe he has a chance to contribute. Not saying he's going to be in this one of the seventh, eighth, ninth inning roles, but they need these arms to be able to get through the season. That's why they say that the 40-man roster is used throughout the course of a season, because you need these guys in order to sustain some of your better arms that are in the bullpen. So Matt Whistler is very viable for this bullpen, and he's done an okay job, I think. Mm-hmm.
Chris, what do you think about Matt Whistler? What do you think he's bringing to the team?
I think he's got a very nice slider when it's working, when it's on. He can wipe some people out with that. You have to remember, there was a time in baseball when teams had 10-man pitching staffs.
That's right.
That's all. 10. Now, almost every team in baseball has 13.
Wow.
They've gone up by that much. They can't all be closers. They can't all be Kirby Yates. They can't all be setup guys like Stammen or Winginter or lefty specialists like Erlen. You got to have a guy that can give you the fifth and the sixth inning on a day the starter doesn't get through that and hopefully keep you in the game. And I think for the most part, Whistler's done that. A couple of games have gotten away. That's why he's a fifth, sixth inning guy. I mean, if he was untouchable, he'd be pitching back in the eighth, ninth inning. But every team in baseball has a Matt Whistler. And I think the Padres' version of their Matt Whistler's not bad.
All right, final one in Padres Pen Pals comes from Chris Vallejo. And he's asking you, Chris, and, well, Chris, you're up first. What did you think of Josh Naylor's debut? Kind of underwhelming to me. That's what Chris Vallejo said.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think it was underwhelming at all. I don't have the stats right in front of me, but
I think he went 4-for-20.
Okay. Tony, how'd you do your first 20 ABs in the big leagues? Were you still nervous on AB number 20?
I was still nervous. I did okay my first 20.
You
though.
Know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah. That doesn't go away soon.
I'm just saying your first 20 ABs and you make them on the road in Toronto and in Yankee Stadium.
He debuts in Canada, too.
Yeah.
Hometown, yeah.
Hometown. Look, man, he got through it all right, I think. Did he go 10 for 20 and, you know, go 9 home runs? No.
3 RBIs?
But, yeah, knocked in 3, hit a couple of balls off the fence. I thought it was all right for... I think Thomas is right. He grew up in Canada, has a debut there, then go to Yankee Stadium.
That's pretty cool.
That's a lot of pressure, man, for anybody. I would think so. Yeah. I would think making my debut there. So not bad. Not great, but not bad.
Tony, what did you think of Josh Naylor's debut?
I thought it was not bad at all. I mean, he got a chance to show some of that slugging that we have been hearing a lot about. I liked him in spring. I just knew that there wasn't a space for him on this ball club, and he only got a chance to come up now because of the DH. He's a perfect fit for him. And there goes that perfect game, by the way. I think he did. I think he's done a good job for his first time up. 4-for-20. You're not really looking at numbers when it comes to this particular thing.
Yeah,
because it wasn't like he was going to stay on the ball club once they came out of
looking for
playing.
Comfort.
Right, and he looks like he can have a chance to belong for sure.
All right, thanks to all of our Padres pen pals for this week. CJ, Will, Marianne, Caesar, and Chris.
Good job, pen pals.
Yes,
well done. Lots of them.
Lots of them. Good question, Sue. We're going to step away and take a break when we come back. We're going to replay an interview from earlier today, and it's not Ben, but Bill Ryder.
Oh, whatever.
CBS Sports.
First
Ryder
name
than you.
First name I've ever messed up in the history of the show.
Listen, no judgment, man, because this is coming from the king mess up of people's names, so it's all good on my part.
No, I'm just kidding.
We'll talk about it. We'll listen to some of that interview when we come back. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ella, Gwynn and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.